I'm thankful this morning that salvation was made available to me. My life would be a whole lot different today if it wasn't. Yours would be different too. We have a lot to be thankful for today. The Lord has been willing to speak each one of our names to us, call us, and offer us a wonderful plan of salvation that is intended to result in eternal life. And I appreciate that. I have a message this morning that I'd like to share. I'd like to continue on from last night by the help of the Lord. Have you ever looked forward to something that you really thought was going to really satisfy, only to be disappointed that it didn't deliver as advertised? Have you ever been there before? Yeah, I don't know how many times I've tried to order that hamburger that you see on those signs. And I don't know if it's that they always run out when I get there, but I've never seemed to be able to get that hamburger that you see on the sign. It's always a little disappointing. And I've noticed sometimes on cereal boxes, have you ever noticed those words sometimes that says, enlarge to show texture? And really, it's a nice way of saying, don't be too disappointed that what you're getting ready to eat doesn't look like what's on the outside of this box. My dad was talking to somebody the other day, inquiring about something that had been advertised. And the young man told him, he said, that was just what was advertised. And my dad said, well, that's what I'm interested in. I'm interested in specifically what you had advertised. He said, well, that was just for advertising purposes. We don't have that to offer, but we have this other. And it seemed like he was never able to get his hands around the fact that there was a problem with that. That you advertise one thing, but then you fail to deliver on the goods that's been advertised. Something like that. Well, the Lord, Jesus, came across something similar to this. And I'd like to read about it this morning. The 11th chapter of Mark. In the 11th chapter of Mark, and we'll start the 11th verse, it said, and Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. They went on their way, did a few other things. And in the 20th verse, it said, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter called the remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. Have you ever considered this story very far? I feel like there's quite a bit for us to get out of it. This account started with Jesus saying that he was hungry. The Lord had a need that he wanted fulfilled. Jesus was hungry. And as he went along, he saw a fig tree. It said afar off. And so off in the distance, he saw a fig tree, and it held the promise of fruit. It held the promise of being able to satisfy what his need was. And so he looked off out there, and decided, hey, that's what I need. That's what will fulfill the hunger that I have. And so he expended energy to go to it. Because it said it was afar off. And I don't know if it was right along the pathway that he was going. I don't know. But it was afar off. He saw it. He set his sights on that. And he expended some energy and some time to get there. That's what the Scripture brings out here. But what did he find? He found no fruit. The Scripture said there was nothing but leaves. That's all there was. I wonder if he got to the tree and he saw all the beautiful leaves and then looked and kept trying to find the fruit, but he found no fruit. It held the promise of fruit. The tree held the promise of fruit from afar off. It held the promise of fruit, and that's why he went to it. But when he got there, there was nothing but leaves. It was already leafed out. I don't know a lot about it. Don't profess to be an expert on fig trees. But I have read that fig trees tend to start bearing fruit. The fruit starts growing at the same time as that the leaves start growing. May not be, you know, fully mature, but if you see leaves, there's a pretty good chance that there's some type of fruit on the tree. But when the Lord got there and looked at it, there was no fruit at all. Yes. Do you think he was disappointed? He saw it a long ways off. He expended energy to get there. But when he got there and he looked at it and there was no fruit, I think that the Lord might have been a little disappointed. It was a good-looking exterior. Had a real good-looking exterior. That's what caused Jesus to expend the energy to go there in the first place. Because it looked good. But the problem was, he went away hungry. Because there wasn't any fruit. Now, it seems like maybe this Scripture was speaking to the state of the Jewish nation and where they were at that time. But I believe that there are some truths here that we can get a hold of that would really help us. We live in a world of hungry people, folks. This world is hungry to be fulfilled. We live in a world where there is much disappointment. There is much despair. There are many people who have had hopes and dreams and have gone to great lengths, have gone afar, have expended energy to be satisfied, and they're not satisfied. We live in a hungry world. And I want to say that what the world has to offer, it looks so attractive so many times from afar. From afar, it looks so attractive. It holds so much promise. It looks like it has just exactly what would satisfy our need. And it's so saturated with imagery. I feel like that sometimes we are on sensory overload. We're intoxicated with having our senses stimulated at a high level. And I feel like sometimes that's why people have almost no interest to come into the house of the Lord. It seems like they have a hard time listening to a message that's of any length. Because if that's not what's driving you, sometimes it doesn't appeal to all of your senses. People in the world, they get so used to having so much flash, so much glitz, so much everything's moving, a whole lot of activity. And it's like people have a hard time just being still anymore. Just being quiet. Remember one time somebody came in our house and had been there for a little while. It might have been one of the children's friends. And the comment that they made was, it's so quiet in here. And they weren't necessarily saying it as a compliment. It's so quiet in here. Thank the Lord. I like having quietness sometimes. You know? But the world lives in a time where it fills our plate with so much things to look at and things to listen to and things to taste, whether we're hungry or not. It's all about satisfying our senses. And we're pulled to the very things that are not consistent with what that would really fulfill you. And that's why we live in a world that's hungry. We live in a world of people who aren't fulfilled. And yet they get done with one thing and then they look off in the distance and there's something else that looks like is promising satisfaction with what it is that you're looking for. Right? And sometimes even our own can be guilty of this. Sometimes we'll stray from those places that we've been taught you ought to stay away from. Places that we don't go. Places that maybe we don't allow. Things we don't allow in our homes. Things that we say, you know, you'd best not present yourself that way to the world. There's a reason for that. And people stray from that sometimes because the promise of looking at something, watching things, listening to things, putting on things, going places, spending your time in certain ways, it seems like that's the answer. I feel a void, and the answer is this. And so then we go to it sometimes, only to find that we're still hungry. And we're not fulfilled. And we're disappointed. This is my message this morning. I wonder today how often people see me. How often they see you. And they think, hey, that's what I need. I'm hungry. I haven't found it. I've been searching. And they look and they see something that attracts their attention. And they come to try to find out what it is that we have. Only when they get there, they're disappointed. Because they find some of the same emptiness. Find just religion. They find no substance. They don't find a personal relationship. They just find leaves. They just find a testimony. They just find a whole bunch of religion. Things that we do that maybe they were things that attracted them in the first place. There's something different about that person. I wonder if they have something. Only they come and they find that we don't have anything to offer of substance. I remember when I was in school, living in the dorms, and I got to know a guy. I had just gotten to know him. And we were downstairs one weekend, and we got to discussing some spiritual things, and I have never forgotten this. He just stopped me cold. I didn't know him very well and found out that's how he did it. That's how he did things. Stopped me cold mid-sentence. And he said, wait a minute. He said, is this what you believe? Or is this just what your church teaches? Is this just what your family has taught you, your parents have taught you, and your church believes this? Or is this what you believe? He was hungry. I found out he really was hungry. And I said, this is what I believe. This is me. This is what I believe. And he said, okay. And he was satisfied to go on with the conversation. People want something that's real. People are looking for something that's the fruit of the righteous. Something that comes from within. Do you know that there are many people out in the world that are willing to dress differently, just walk down the street. It doesn't take very long. You go to a big city, you'll find people who are willing to be different from everyone else. And they act proud of it. It's almost like they're doing it to be noticed as different. We're not the only group that stands out and looks different. There's other people in the world who are willing to belong to a smaller group. There's other people out in the world who are willing to just to be different in a lot of different categories. But there are very few people who have the fruit of the Spirit to offer. And I'll go further. This gets a little closer. You know, the other thing that's sad is sometimes people have something to offer and then they act like a turtle when somebody comes and they see it and they want to get a hold of it and then we withdraw. God help us. We withdraw in our shell because maybe we're afraid, well, I don't know if I'll present it well enough. The Lord's calling us to be a light to the world. The world needs you. When we look at the world and the way that it's going right now, worse and worse and worse, I want to say something. This is one of the greatest opportunities we have. Because the worse that it gets, the more empty people are going to feel. They want something. They need something. They need the light of the truth. And when they come to us, we want to be in the place that we have something to offer them. Something that goes beyond religion. Something that goes beyond just a list of rules. We want to live according to the will of God that we heard last night. We want to have something that's coming from the inside, from the Spirit of the Lord. So that when people come and they look and they examine our lives, we have something to offer them that will meet the need of their souls. That's a responsibility that we have. The Lord expects fruit to come from our lives. It's our time. It's our season. There's a lot of years that have passed that was not your time. It wasn't my season. Hundreds of years, thousands of years have passed. We weren't here. But for some reason, God has put us here today. It's our season. This is our time. This is our responsibility now. And God expects us to have some fruit to offer to this lost world. People are hungry. They need something. And the Lord wants to use you. He wants you to have some fruit. He wants you to have something in your life that when others look at and they get closer than just afar off, that they find something that's real and that we have some personal convictions that we're going to live this way regardless of what everybody else says. If the rest of the church goes off in another direction, you're going to find me living like this because I believe it, because I have it down in my soul. It's a conviction. I have more than religion. I have more than just a group of people that I associate with. It's something that's alive in me. Do you have a fire in your life today? Is there a fire burning inside you, or are you just doing time? You're just going through the motions. You just show up to church. Good to show up to church. You need to come to church. You need to have prayer. You need to do all these. There's places to avoid. There's places to go to. There's things to watch. There's things not to watch. There's things to listen to. There's things not to listen to. But when you get through all of it, do you have the fruit of the Spirit? Do you have something that's real? Do you have something more than just leaves? Do you have something more than just a testimony? God wants us to have a testimony. The Lord will give us power and victory with the testimony that's based on a power that's working deep within us. And saints, we have a responsibility this morning to bear fruit. You have a responsibility. We don't get a pass. Have you ever read in the Bible where it talks about the unfruitful works of the righteous? Or the righteous man that bore no fruit. I haven't. It talks about the fruit of the righteous. You see, if you're righteous, there's going to be fruit. It will come if you're righteous. And the Lord wants us to have fruit that other people are willing to benefit from. There's a verse in Proverbs 11 and 30 that says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." How are souls won? Well, the Lord can reach souls outside of my influence and outside of your influence. The Lord can do that. But do you know that the Lord also set it up so that He could reach souls through you? Many times people benefit. It's intended. It's designed that way, that souls would benefit from the fruit of our lives. That the Lord set it up that way. We live off the fruit of each other's lives. God designed it that way. That's one reason, I believe, why Paul said, "Let's not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the so, given the day that's approaching." We need each other. I need the fruit of your life to live on. I'm dependent on it. I don't want to just live on apples all my life. Maybe the Lord blessed me with some special understanding or encourages me in my area of life. But you know, He has some meat for me, and He has some vegetables for me, and He has some milk for me, and He has some potatoes for me, and sometimes He has some dessert for me. And those come through other people, oftentimes. It's the fruit that's coming out of their lives that we benefit from. And so the Lord says, hey, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. People say, well, my experience is between me and the Lord. I can stay home. I don't need to go to church so much because the Lord's a big God and we've got this thing going. The Lord wants you to get up and He wants you to go to church, not just for you, but for the help of others too. People wonder, well, what can I do in the service of the Lord? What place does the Lord have for me? He hasn't called me to anything. Go assemble yourself with the rest of the saints and be an encouragement to them. Be there. Be there. Fill your spot consistently. Encourage them to fill their spot by being there. Have something maybe to say. People say, well, I'm not a speaker. You don't have to have a lot to say. Maybe you bring a smile. Preach the gospel always, and when necessary, use words. There's a whole lot that can be said in our lives without just words. But you have to be there. Come to service. It's important to not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. We need each other. We live off each other's fruit. And the Lord wants us to take the fruit to the world. What kind of fruit are you bearing today? Are you bearing the kind of fruit that people can benefit from? Or are they living in spite of the fruit that you're bearing? It's challenging, isn't it? He said when the Lord came by and He didn't see any figs on it, in the 14th verse, Jesus answered and said unto it, "No man eat fruit anymore from you." That's all. The Lord didn't have a whole lot of words to say except, you know, you've been given a long time. You've got a trunk. You've got this tree big enough to see from afar off. You have all these leaves, but you don't have any fruit. No more. And they went on their way. And the next day they came by and Peter looked at that tree. He was like, oh, Lord, look at that tree that you cursed yesterday. It's gone. It's withered up. Yeah. It wasn't bearing fruit. And you know, I've been challenged with this. I don't want to be in the place where I'm the person that somebody goes to because they're attracted for some reason to what I have from afar off, only to come and find out that all I have is religion. All I have is just works to point to, but I have no conviction. I have no substance. I have no fruit. And then they walk away, and then they don't go to some other tree that looks the same from a distance, but has fruit, but they go, I've been there before. I know what that's all about. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to take away from the gospel. How many times have you heard people say, well, I don't go to church because, well, there's some hypocrites at the church where I go and I'm done with it. You know, or there's people there. How many times? We've all probably heard things like that. Doesn't make any sense. You know, it's like Brother Michael doing something to me that I don't like. So I come home and tell my wife, I don't like you anymore. She says, well, why not? Well, because Brother Michael, he didn't treat me right yesterday. It's like, well, what sense does that make? What does that have to do with me? And yet people all the time are doing that to the Lord. They're placing the blame on everything else. Look, I don't want to be one of the contributors to that, where I profess and I have a testimony and I'm acquainted with a group of people. I'm supposed to be an ambassador of Christ. I belong to the Laranger congregation, and then I go out and somebody meets me and then finds that I have nothing but leaves. And then later, they find and run into one other of you that has fruit, and they say, where are you from? Well, I'm from the Laranger congregation. Well, yeah, I know about you folks. You know, I met one of your folks some time back. Didn't have anything but leaves. I don't want to be in that place. We have a responsibility to bear fruit. We have a responsibility to have something to offer to the world that goes beyond just a list of things that we do. We want to have a fervency of spirit. We want to have it such that we can communicate the hope that we have within us. Because it's the same hope that they need. It's the same hope that they want. And if we reject Christ, if we don't have fruit to bear, if He's given us time and energy, and the Lord's so merciful to us. You know, the Lord doesn't cut us off the first time. Thank the Lord. I mean, that, I wouldn't be here. If the Lord were to cut us off the first time, I wouldn't be here. If He cut us off the second time, I wouldn't be here. If He cut us off the third time, I wouldn't be here. I'm sorry, but I've made my share of errors. We'll probably continue to do so. But we serve a merciful God. But then there's this point, though, where we turn away from what God's wanting us to do because we just don't have His Spirit in us, and we're not bearing fruit, and all we have is just fluff. And there comes a time the Lord is going to say to every single one, depart from me. I don't know who you are. Yeah, but Lord, I've got lead. I've got a testimony. I've got religion. And He curses them. And that's it. That's done. I don't want to ever be found in that place. I'd like to read 15th chapter of John. It's hard not to read that. Fifteenth chapter of John in the 4th verse. He said, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches, he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered, men gather them, cast them in the fire, and they are burned. I want to give myself to abiding in the Lord. I want to allow the Lord to purge me. You know, purging is not always pleasant. But in the Lord's mercy, He's willing to come and purge us if we're willing. I don't want to be cast to the side. I don't want to be burned. I don't want to be the cause of somebody else being burned. I want to feel the responsibility to bear fruit. I want to fulfill the responsibility that God has given me in this time period because it's our season. If you don't take the gospel to the world, who is? Well, it's really easy to say, well, somebody else, you know, Moses said, I'm of a, what did he say, stammering tongue. I can't, Lord, I can't do this. ready to withdraw. And the Lord's like, no, yeah, you can. I'll help fill the gap. I've got somebody that's going to help you. We can be really ready to say, well, the Lord can reach people without me. And then we withdraw in our hole. What if everybody did that? What if that's what everybody did? The Lord has a special place for every single person in here. The Lord has your name. Oh, think about it this way. The Lord has a book with your name in it. And beside your name, He has the talent that He gave you to exercise, that He's willing to bless if you'll let Him. We know the parable of the talents. He gave one, five, two, and one. He didn't give them all the same talent. Y'all know the story. And He was pleased with the ones that exercised what He gave them. But then there was one who didn't bear any fruit. He buried it, put it away. And the Lord wasn't happy with that. What are your talents today? Are we using them? Do we have something that the world can benefit from? That each other can benefit from? It's not only yourself that's affected. Other people are. Jesus went away hungry. I don't want that to be the cause because of my account, because of me not fulfilling the place I'm supposed to fill. I don't want others to go away hungry. Not everybody has the same measure of talents, but the Lord has the same expectation of everybody that we would all come and offer and have something. And get a hold of the Lord in such a way that we have fruit to give. Say, well, what fruit are you talking about? Paul talked in the 5th chapter of Galatians, in the 22nd verse. He said, but the fruit of the Spirit, remember that verse? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there's no law against these things. You can do as much of these things as you want. No law against it. You can't exceed the speed limit on these things. No restrictions. This was the fruit of the Spirit. The Lord wants us to exercise and have on hand true love, unfeigned love. Love when you don't feel like loving. Oh, that's fruit. And people are drawn to that. People can tell when you show them love. And they wonder, why did they do that for me? They almost seem sincere. You know what people know when it's feigned love? When it's false humility? When it's not true meekness? You know, people can put on a show sometimes of being meek and withdrawn, and it's not meek. And it's not withdrawn. It's actually a very assertive way sometimes of exercising power. People know that. They pick up on that. The Lord's not looking for fruit that's taped on to our trees. Well, I got love, but I had to tape it on. Well, I got some gentleness over here. It's supposed to look like gentleness, but you look closer and you find that I've tied it on with a tie wrap. It didn't come from within. It's false, and people pick up on that. But when you have true love, and you show love, and you go out of your way, Lord, how can I show love to this lost world? Lord, how can I be gentle and reach somebody when most of the time they would not expect me to be gentle over this, and yet I'm gentle? And I'm long-suffering with the one that's having trouble. People rise to that. People rise, they're attracted to that from afar. It's like something is different about that person. And they get in and they start getting a little bit closer to find out what it is that we have. And they find out, they really love me. They really have long suffering. They're really meek. It doesn't mean you're walking around with a false humility, but they don't have an exaggerated opinion and they value me. People are drawn to that. That's fruit of the Spirit. That's righteous fruit. And the Lord wants us to live our lives and be in such contact with Him that these fruits of the Spirit are things that are real and alive in our life, and that we have these things to impart to a hungry, lost, needy world. Jesus went on to say, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit." That's what He wants us to do. I want my testimony to be like the man that was talked about in the first chapter of Psalm. Said that he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Lord, help us all to plant ourselves by the rivers of water. What kind of man is it? Well, he started it off saying, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, doesn't stand in the way of sinners, doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord." Where are you planted today? That's a question. Where have you planted yourself? What are you fed from and by? That can get kind of close. What do we feed on every day? This has practical application. People know what we should feed on, but there's only 24 hours in a day, okay? You can only do so much in a 24-hour day, and our days are made up of 24 hours, and our days are made up of the things that you actually do. And you can look to those things to see what it is you're feeding on. So, if you're sitting in front of a computer screen for however many hours of the day, that's you fed on that. If you're doing something else, you're feeding on that. If you're, listening to these things, you're feeding on that. You're being fed by certain things. You start to become whatever you feed on. It's an inconvenient truth sometimes. We would rather be, something different than what we really are. I mentioned the other day in a message, we have a path that we walk around, and there's trees everywhere, and there's little signs in front of each tree saying what the tree is, what kind of tree it is. I could go there and pry up all those name tags and then just spread them all over the place in front of the trees. It wouldn't change the tree, though. The tree's still what the tree is. We are fed by what we eat. I want to feed. I want to make sure that my diet is made up of things where the Lord can encourage me, where He can give me something that I can then impart to somebody else. This morning I want to be challenged. I want to be challenged to have more than leaves. I want to be challenged to have more than just an empty testimony. I want to have something to impart to the world. I want to be challenged personally. Lord, what must I do so that I can increase in the fruit that's born in my life for Your glory? So that others, I can be an accurate reflection of who Christ is. Lord, I want to fulfill the commission to go in the world and preach the gospel. I want to be a light unto the world. I don't want to put it under a bushel. I want to have a light that shines because there's a whole lot of people that need it, including the people that are right here. I need you. We need each other. I need you to be strong. I need some fruit to be born that can help give me sustenance and help and strength to go on. So this morning, may God help us all to be challenged to have fruit to impart for the salvation of others and for the encouragement of us all. And I believe if we do that, the Lord will bless us. He'll help us. He'll pick us up when we fall down. When there's some fruit that's not the best, which will happen, He'll help take care of that. He's not ready to whack us down. He wants to lift us up. He wants to give us what we need. But we have to be willing to say, "Here am I, Lord." And I want to do that this morning. Pray for me. Amen.